Let's bring in Mark Shapiro. He is president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. Mark, thank you so much for joining us today. It's the first time I've had a chance to talk to you in 2017. So I hope that so far it's been a good year for you and yours.
It has. Is that the Stephen Brunt theme song right there?
It is indeed, yeah, Mark. Yes, sir, it is.
Well, you know what? Right. You know what Brunt's like. I mean, he's got to go fishing every week, Mark.
That's how big he is, that he's got his own theme music.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. How are you doing?
Doing all right. The sun is shining, and it's a good time of year. So excited to be moving towards spring training. Hard to believe.
Now, it was said at the end of the regular season by a bunch of people. Ross, I mean, John Gibbon said it as well. You probably said it as well. But that one of the things the Jays wanted to do or would try to do this offseason, Mark, was get a little younger, maybe more athletic, although that's open to interpretation, obviously, and more left-handed. Now, I know the offseason isn't over yet, but if I had to ask you right now, what percentage would you say you have accomplished of that of your offseason goal in that regard?
Well, not very much of that. I think there's I would say it's unusual for an offseason to take this long to play out. But I would encourage you to not conclude the body of work is done. And one of the hardest things in your jobs and for a fan is to we're not playing games right now. You know, I went through it firsthand last year on a personal level. And so you've got to evaluate kind of what's going on both around, from our competitors and, what's being reported on every day, which is probably a partial truth in every one of those reports. And you've got to kind of try to draw conclusions along the way. And the reality is that, we're still 5 weeks away from, saying that we're heading to spring training and we're getting ready to actually go. And in that short period of time, there's still a lot that's going to be done, with the Toronto Blue Jays before we're a finished team.
Are the options still out there, Mark, to accomplish, as what Jeff just laid out, the idea of this more, again, more versatile, maybe less left-handed, more athletic kind of team?
So I would say probably not on every level. There's certainly some options, and I think, you want to check boxes, but, just signing left-handed hitters, if they're not the best hitter out there, probably doesn't make sense. So, and we're, what I would say along those lines is, Stephen, that we're still balancing, that getting younger certainly is something that we can't accomplish quickly. You and I have had these conversations historically. Getting younger is something that's going to take a combination of both some individual transactions and just time, that as we begin to manage our roster over an extended period of time and as we do have options, we can get younger just by bringing young players up, but we want to bring young championship caliber players up that allow us to field contending ball clubs. And the reality of our system is that's going to take time, that we're just not there right now. We have a guy here, a guy there now, but we need to, field teams at both, in New Hampshire and in Buffalo that are full of players that, we think have a chance to be championship caliber players. And when we have, multitudes of players there, then the reality is that there will be, some players that are even better than we think, and some will probably not be as good, but we'll be able to, year in and year out, fill a sustainable championship team. Until that happens, the approach we take with our off season is going to be a little bit of just trying to piece it together and do the best we can to fill the championship team around, an aging core.
Mark, I'm going to ask you, there have been a lot of reports that you've kept in contact with Michael Saunders and certainly Jose Bautista this after an off season in which Edwin signed with Cleveland. I'm going to ask you kind of a two-parter here. First of all, anything you would have done differently with Edwin this off season, in terms of the approach you took, and secondly, where do things stand with Jose Bautista right now? Has there been any significant move one way or another, or is it kind of where it was, a month ago?
Yeah, well, let me talk about the Edwin piece first. And again, I would say if you go through life and you ask anyone a question, okay, you have all the information now, anything you'd do differently, who wouldn't answer that differently, Jeff?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, it's fair.
So I'm not sure that that's a fair question to ask like that. I think there's not an expert, there's not an agent, and there's not a team that thought the market would go the way it did. Certainly not Edwin's agent.
Okay.
And certainly not Edwin. And so, at the time we talked to Edwin, 2 weeks after we'd made that offer to Edwin, 3 weeks after we made that offer to Edwin, a month after we made that offer to Edwin, he still thought he was going to get far more dollars than what we offered, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
What we offered, far
yes,
more.
I know.
And he ended up signing for less than what we offered. That's unfortunate for us. And to some extent, although he's in a great situation and a great place, and I'm sure he's going to be very happy, somewhat unfortunate for him. And it's circumstance and situation that, no one could have forecasted. So, yes, we could have gambled. We could have waited, and I guess in hindsight, with giving me all the information now, if we knew it was going to do this, that's kind of a silly question. Absolutely,
sure it is.
We would have done it differently, but we didn't have all the information, and I think it was important for us to have a plan. And as you negotiate, it's always important to both have walkaways and have alternatives. And if you don't have those two things, you're not going to have a successful outcome. And so we went to an alternative, which didn't close the door on Edwin, but made it. More limited to what we could do in signing him. So does that address the Edwin situation clearly?
Yeah, I think it does. I think you're right. It was a market that I don't think too many people, I don't think anybody saw it coming. What are we here? January 13th. We still got both. We've got Chris Carter sitting out there. Mark Trumbo, Jose Bautista.
Yeah, Mark Trumbo, 47 homers. I mean,
yeah.
It's not. Believe me, there's not maybe Edwin's situation played out more publicly, both because of the players, the people that were involved in the market here. But Mark Trumbo's situation is very similar.
And about Jose, has there been any movement there?
No, I mean, I would just say that, we clearly need a corner outfielder, right? And Jose is probably the most talented one out there as far as offensive production goes and pedigree and track record. And then on top of that, he's got a premium in this marketplace because of, what he's meant to this franchise over the last eight seasons and who he is in this market and the impact he's made in the community here. So you take all those things up, and for me not to say he would be a good alternative for us for next year would be a mistake. So, I mean, I think he's among the alternatives. He's certainly, if not the best, one of the best.
How do you think there's a possibility with Jose, Mark? We've seen it a couple of times. It happened with Stephen Drew. It happened with Kendrys Morales in a different incarnation where guys ended up signing after the draft and that draft pick compensation disappeared. Is that something that you think is possible with Jose? Is that something that you have to calculate in terms of the desirability of bringing him back? Where, if you're going to lose the draft, if you're not going to get the draft pick compensation, do you have to kind of factor that into your calculations?
I don't think so. I think at his age, where he is in his career, for him to sit out, for 3 months, again, that's you really need to talk to him about that, not us. But it's not a scenario that we have factored in. That draft pick is meaningful. It's material. It has real value. But at the same time, so does bringing back Jose and what he could both contribute offensively and what he means to the community here.
Mark, one of the other, I guess, areas of concern going into the offseason was the bullpen, trying to address that. That would appear to be an area where I'm going to use the word slow play the market. I don't know if that's necessarily accurate, but that would appear to be an area where you could do some find some value. How confident are you that when opening day, or I'm sorry, when spring training rolls around, that you'll have enough candidates to fill those various positions and be comfortable enough that you may not have to make an in-season move to address specifically the left-handed reliever slot?
Well, I would say this, as the off season unfolded, what was quickly apparent, and whether that's, the industry reacting to Kansas City and Cleveland's postseason success over the past 2 years, or whether that's just the reality that bullpen, that wins are still the cheapest to buy, from the bullpen. It quickly became clear that there were not a lot of value in the bullpen marketplace, mm-hmm. whether it was just, you know, Brett Cecil signing for what he signed for, or other deals that were getting done, that there was a lot of hurry and rush and demand after the bullpen guys. So we really felt like the way to impact our team was where there was a more robust and more depth of talent, and that was in the outfield and in the corner players in the market. And so we made a decision at that point that's still fluid, that we're going to look to impact the team in a way that can bring the most wins, not necessarily fill holes, mm-hmm. but the most wins. And we still feel like there are some good options out there in the bullpen. We'll probably have to work budgetarily off of what we decide to do in the outfield and where we spend and how much we spend on the outfield. So that will impact what we have and what we're able to do in the bullpen. And then secondarily on the bullpen, I would say this to you, that it's the most unpredictable. It's the most year-to-year erratic from a planning perspective. Every single year there are guys that people count on to be contributors out of the bullpen who do not. And there are guys who end up impacting in a major way, such as, Biagini, that no one even has heard of or expects, prior to starting the year. So I look at bullpen construction as something that is fluid. You walk into spring training thinking your bullpen's set, and we certainly felt very good last year. And then, we looked up, and I think everybody did, go back and read what was being written about the bullpen last year. And we certainly found out the reality was not, what we thought planning, and we made adjustments. And Ross did an unbelievable job on the fly of adding, guys that really impacted, in Gurriele and Benoit. So again, I would think yes, we will add bullpen pieces before the off season's over. But I would also still expect the bullpen to be an area that will be a constant area of adjustment. And I do think, we've got some power arms in both internally here and some people that may impact that we're not even expecting right now.
Now, you mentioned Biagini, obviously, who was a happy surprise last year. Starting pitching depth is not something people are talking about a lot this offseason, but you got very lucky with the health of your rotation last year. You had a very good, solid rotation, but you also only had to go, I think, six deep the whole season.
Yeah.
How are you going to, again, assuming that probably isn't going to happen again. Now, knock on wood, maybe it will, but most teams have to go a little deeper than that. Would you stretch Biagini out in spring, with the option of having him start? Would you potentially start him in Buffalo to have him as the option of having him start? Or is there kind of a plan B or plan C in terms of who those other starters might be?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would approach that question progressively. The first question is, do you stretch him out in spring training? And then at some point, 2, 3, 4, and there's really no downside to doing that. And then at some point, a month into spring training, because we have a little longer spring this year due to the WBC, you have to make a decision. Okay, do we feel good about our bullpen alternatives? Do we feel like, worse about our starting depth? Are we healthy in our rotation? So I guess what I'd say, Stephen, is A, we don't have a full, accounting of what our bullpen actually is right now. And B, I think, once we get into spring training, we need to make sure both our rotation's healthy and understand our full bullpen picture. That will give the answer to the second part. But as far as stretching him out, there's no downside to doing that.
Is there even an outside chance, Mark, that during the spring, one of your young pitchers, again, these are guys who haven't pitched above AA, but the Connor Greens, the Sean Reed Foley, some of your best prospects, that any of those guys could do something in the spring where they would come into that conversation, either in terms of the bullpen or in terms of depth starting?
Well, I don't believe in absolutes, but that would be highly unlikely. I think, when you start to rush guys to that level, at some point you're cheating the foundation that they need to develop, and you're either putting them at risk of injury or you're putting them in a position where they're going to have some setback, even if they have short-term success, and it's going to make it harder to finish them off Development at the major league level is a very, very difficult thing to do. For most guys, it's about survival. And then if they're really talented, it's about making adjustments. And I think in order to just have a player at the point where he can make adjustments, he's got to have a strong foundation, which means a certain number of innings, a certain number of starts. That being said, if there's a young guy that shows the ability to command a fastball and control or command of a secondary pitch to get swing and miss with, then maybe you can say, hey, he's not a finished product, but it's good enough that we can bring him up. And I would say that the short answer to that is always, listen, the best decisions on players make for us. I tell players that all the time. So if a guy comes out and he's so dominant at AAA or maybe even AA in a rare circumstance that, he's not getting anything out of development, that he's kind of saying, I need to go to the next level to be challenged. So you won't have to ask me that. You'll know that by looking at, the way a guy's performing.
Mark, no surprise to anybody. The game continues to get younger. We've seen teams put a premium, not just on the young starting pitchers, which we're always used to, but a lot of teams are really putting a premium, it seems now, on young position players. You've taken some steps in the past couple of years to address the position player depth in this organization. I'm thinking of Reese McGuire particularly. Yeah. You've got Vladdy Guerrero, a guy that a lot of people like. Theoretically, what would it take for this organization to consider moving a guy like Vladdy, knowing just how much value there is now in a young position player?
Yeah, it's hard theoretically to answer that. I mean, I think what I'd say is, historically what you always say is every player, there's no one who's untradeable. I guess what I'd say is you'd need to get back. If you traded one of your premium young players, you would need to get back, either other premium prospects along with major league talent or very controllable major league talent,
right,
meaning you have multiple years of control. It's not a rental player.
But how do you balance that out, Mark, with a roster, which is on the old side, and with a kind of competitive window because of that might, for this group might be open for another year or two. And again, I know things can change and things can, that roster could change, but how do you balance the risk of trading away a young player for now versus the long-term interest of the team?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. I think that balance is the right word, but I guess I get back to this, that every single thing we're doing right now kind of has a duality. It's kind of a dual plan. It's we are obsessively focused with a huge sense of urgency on both building the infrastructure necessary to make great decisions in the draft, to take advantage of extra picks, to do things like signing Gurriel, and wherever possible infuse talent, to add Harold Ramirez and Reese McGuire in a trade as, a secondary part of a major league trade that brings Liriano, who's going to be an important part of our rotation this year. So I guess that's kind of the answer, Stephen, that we are thinking about every single opportunity to infuse talent and have the system and infrastructure in place here that helps that talent develop to its full potential, mentally, physically, fundamentally. So building up resources in mental performance, building up resources in strength and conditioning, building up resources in sports science to help guys recover. All those things are going to help us maximize the potential of our players, help them be as great as they can be, which ensures that, the greatest number of guys that can come up here and contribute will. And then every single opportunity that exists to infuse that talent is important. And you balance that with the window of opportunity we have at the major league level while evaluating that opportunity at every juncture, off-season, July, are the two biggest junctures. And you always weigh, if you feel like you're within grasp of a world championship, I'll tell you what, you probably are willing to sacrifice some of those young players and some of that future to take that leap. If you feel like that leap is more than just a short jump, but is a world-class, long jump, then you probably better be pretty careful about how much young talent you give up and look to get players elsewhere.
Mark, before we let you scoot, I'll just ask you, any conversations with John Gibbons about an extension? And if not, do you expect to have those in the spring?
Yeah, Ross has – that's a conversation that Ross and Gibby have had consistently since the end of the season, and, you know, one that's private between them. I'm not sure that – never really felt like that conversation was important to have in public until it's done. But I guess all I could tell you is, yes, those conversations have happened.